It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
Welcome to CAT Scans, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars, and we are going to look ahead to the playoffs, the first round series with the Tri-City Americans, and so on. Before we do that, Mark, let's take a look at 68 games, where your Prince George Cougars ended up 37-24, 6-1, second in the BC division, fourth out of 10 in the Western Conference. Overall, are you satisfied, more than satisfied, pleased, a tad disappointed? How do you look at that performance for your team over the 68 games?
Well, when you look at, the full body of work, right from the start, I think it's, I think everyone should be very proud of, especially the last couple months here, how we played, how we've improved, moved up in the standings. But the biggest thing is how we're playing as a team.
You have gone 11 consecutive games without losing in regulation. And every team wants to be at their best going into the postseason. Can we say that about the Cougars?
Well, when you look at our record, you can certainly say that. And we've had a lot of good play by a lot of, players on our team. And as a team, I think we're probably playing the best that we've played as a team, even with, a couple of the guys that we've had out that we think that can be real impactful when the playoffs get going. So I think all in all for everybody involved, I think we're starting to get over that hump of learning how to win.
Over the course of the season, what pleased you the most? And if there was a disappointment, what would that be?
Well, the disappointment was when we, when we got so sick when we went on our second U.S. trip there. That was really, really hard. Adversity that, when you look back, you never know what really helps your team. And that was probably one of them, the adversity that we had to fight through, the sickness that was on our team. It wasn't really even fair for some of these guys to even play, but, they went through it. And I think when you go through something like that and you see you make it through it, even though our record wasn't very good, it helps you grow.
And what pleased you the most?
Well, just how the team came together, seeing the satisfaction, seeing the some of the big years that some of these guys have, seeing the satisfaction in their faces and seeing the growth within the group and how we all grew together. That's what pleases me.
Obviously, this is the best season you've had since taking over as a coach and GM. I talked recently on a podcast with Eric Brewer. He says he's very pleased with the work you've done. He did say that ownership was hoping that the progression would come a little bit faster. What about you? Did you think it was going to take this long? Did you think it could come a little faster?
No. That's a tough question. Coming a little bit faster is you deal with what you got and you have to face that day. I seen the upside in it, but it didn't a little bit faster. I think what happened is when we went into the hub and you had all those young players and the hub kind of got the hub got a lot of hockey people thinking, because it's what you're seeing in the hub, and it wasn't the best hockey. It was very young. The competitive part to it wasn't really real. And everyone's seen the youngness and the skill that we had. So I think the projections, everyone got pretty excited there. But, we all knew that it would really change when we got back to the real hockey and the travel and it got a lot older. And when you have an older league and you're playing against older players, it's a lot harder.
You ran the Swift Current Broncos. They eventually won a championship. Now, you weren't there for the championship season because you went to Arizona, but you helped build that team. So I'm going to ask if you can see similarities from Swift Current a few seasons ago when you were there and where Prince George is now.
Well, when I there's always similarities in building, and it, you know, when you're building, you got to have good players, and you got to draft really well. And you know, we went through a time in Swift Current where we kind of tore it down and put our back together, and you know, I felt really comfortable with where we're at when I did leave, and there's a lot of pieces put together. You know, that's similar than where we're at right now. Like, we still have a lot of pieces, you know, moving forward. Our draft lists are all full. We got all our draft picks. We've made some trades to help our team this year. And so right now, I would say we're probably in a better spot than I was when I left Swift Current.
Is getting Chase Wheatcroft for just a fourth-round pick the best trade you've ever made? And if it's not, I'd like to know one that's at least comparable.
Well, yeah. Well, he's had a dream season. I don't think you could hardly ever make a better trade than that. When I was in Swift Current, we traded for an overage in John Martin, and he really broke out, but not to the level that Chase has.
We had Chase on the podcast last week, and I said that, you know, you should probably go to Mark and see if he would take you out for lunch, because you sort of made him look good. But Chase right away said, you know, Mark's made me look good by the coaching and everything like that. So it is a two-way street and everything like that. And it has to be nice to know that sometimes what you make a deal you think is going to work even goes beyond any expectation.
Yeah, and that's part of hockey. You know, you're making a deal to better your team. And, you know, I knew Chase was a good player. I knew he had that skill. Everybody knew that. But the impact that he's had in the improvement that he's had in his game is, you know, from the start of the year till now, he's actually a total different player and a total different person on how he comes to the rink and how he thinks and how he goes about his business.
You know, it's always easy after a trade to sort of look back. But, you know, you've been around a long time and the GM. And one thing that I've sort of thought of from this trade, I mean, obviously yourself and Winnipeg could not have imagined that he'd be the number two scorer in the WHL. And really, it's number one because Connor Bedard's on his own league. And then there's Chase Wheatcroft. But what it makes me think of, and I wonder if it makes you think of, is that the next trade you make, whether you acquire a fourth-round pick or trade to get a fourth-round pick or whatever, would you put conditions in so that if one player just exceeds expectations and goes off the charts, a fourth-rounder, for example, could be upgraded to a second or third-rounder?
Yeah, we've done that in the past. There's conditions. I've done a lot of conditions in a lot of different trades that we've done. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, when you're making a trade, you're trying to make the best for your team and the other team. It's not like you're going and trying to make a trade and ripping off somebody. You're looking at your own team where it can fit, and you might even pay a little extra because it's a real good fit. But yeah, absolutely, you can put conditions in.
Wheatcroft number two in WHL scoring. Riley Height number five. Height tied Bedard for the assist lead, as both had 72. Now, obviously, Bedard won goals and points. And then you have Zimmer with his 41 goals, and he is in ninth with 89 points. You take a look at these three. The Cougars are the only team with three in the top 10. What does that tell you?
It tells me that we got a lot of offense, and it tells you that we got a lot of really good players on our team. And, you know, those three are in the top 10, but you look at, what's really impressive is we get a lot of offense from our back end. It's kind of works and it goes into our forwards, but as a five-man unit, and it doesn't matter if those guys are on the ice and, you know, those guys, you know, you put Thornton and Samson in there, there's our power play group, and our power play is excellent, and that's going to get you more points too. But when you look at our whole team, we create offense from a lot of different areas.
Now, when you get ready for playoffs, you know that those high scoring games, with some exceptions, are going to be tossed out the window. Going against a team like Tri-City, you're going to have two excellent goaltenders, one for them, one for you. I'm looking from an outside point of view, 3-2, grind it out, 2-2, third period. Somebody you know, gets the winning goal late in the third, maybe overtime. No, not every game is going to be like that. But it is playoffs. You've seen more playoff games, playing, coaching, as much as anybody. Is that what you're expecting?
Yeah, you know what? You don't really know what to expect. That's what playoff hockey is. There's not a lot of room. It's a lot more physical. Lots of times the refs let a little bit more go. But you really don't know until you really get into a series. And you got to play that first game. And whether it's going to, you know, Tri-City scores a lot of goals also. They got a really good power play. Is it going to be a different type of series? And who knows? There's a lot of, when you look at all the power plays out there through hockey and the NHL and all over the place, there's a lot of good power plays. The offense is up. So does that translate into playoffs? I'm not sure, but, you know, we're going to try to be ready for everything.
This series of the eight in the WHL first round can arguably be mentioned as the most intriguing. And why is that? I think there are four or five series where I think everybody knows the outcome, who's going to win. I know there's upsets, things can happen, but I don't think anybody thinks that Seattle's going to lose to Kelowna and, you know, Winnipeg's going to lose to Medicine Hat. I know it's hockey, I know it can happen, but I don't think anybody realistically thinks that can happen. You take a look at Prince George, Tri-City, it's a 4-5 matchup, which traditionally are the ones that go the longest, that are toss-ups. Also, the uniqueness of 2-3-2. I want to ask you about that. 2-3-2. Was this your proposal? Was it Tri-City? How did this come about?
Well, you talk to every team. 2-3-2 just, it totally makes sense with the travel. And either way, when we talked about how we were going to work the playoffs, we didn't know if we were going to have home ice advantage or not. But it was agreed on before, we even got into our spots. So the 2-3-2 totally makes sense, with all the travel. And there's, once you get into the series, you don't know how it's going to work. It could, you lose a game here and then, it switches over to the advantage of them, if you want to look at it like that. But I don't put a lot of, thought into it. I think our team plays good on the road. We're confident going in. We feel that we got a good team, and we can win in any type of environment.
I'm curious, if the series ends in five, what happens with the gate for game five? Because Prince George should have more gate because they were the higher team, regardless of who was to win in five. But is there some rule or something set between the two teams? If the series ends in five, what happens to the gate?
No, it's just normal.
Oh, it's just normal. Okay.
Yeah.
So you are taking a little bit of a gamble. This is something that, prior Cougar teams in 2016-17 did not want to do in a 2-2-1-1-1. And I guess your thought process is that this is better for your players, your team. If it's better for Tri-City, so be it. I'm not worried about them. I'm only worried about us. Is that sort of the approach?
Yeah. We're worried about how we're going to play. And, we got home ice advantage. And, that's where it comes into play right at the start of the series. And we got to be ready for it.
You're listening to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. We're speaking with Prince George Cougars head coach and a general manager, Mark Lamb. We can make some similarities between the Prince George Cougars and the Tri-City Americans. They are 6-0-0-1 in their last seven. They have not lost in regulation in 3 weeks. You are, 8-0-2-1, and you haven't lost in regulation since March the 1st. Both power plays are in the top six. Both penalty kills are in the bottom six. And both have an excellent goaltender to start. So there are some similarities. But one thing that I don't know you can put a lot of stock into are the four regular season matchups, because you played the first two games of the season. The rosters were totally different at that point, particularly from your point. And then you talked about the flu bug earlier. That's when you played Tri-City. You lost back-to-back 4-3 games. One was in overtime, and that was over 3 months ago. So I don't know if you can put a lot of stock into that. So what do you do, and how much stock as a coach and GM do you put into those games that from the outside don't seem all that significant?
No, you don't put a lot into it at all, but what you do look at is how their team is playing. You go over those games and make sure that there's nothing in there that you missed when you did play them with different lineups and, you know, some of the matchups and some of the lines that they put out there. But for the most part, you know, we go back into the when they're playing really well, which they are right now, and you look and you scout those games and see what kind of chemistry that they got going on, and then you go to your team and try to put a scheme together to go against it.
So they have a 19-year-old goaltender, Thomas Sukinek, who was superb for Czechia at the World Juniors, got them into the gold medal game, into overtime, made 35 saves before losing to Canada, was named Tri-City MVP. And then you've got your 19-year-old, a starter, Tyler Brennan, superb second half, unconscious in last season's playoffs with a .954 save percentage, even though he never won a game against Portland. You couldn't score any goals for him. Talk about that goaltending matchup.
Well, I think it can be a great matchup. You know, for sure, the pedigree that Sukanik has and how he's played in those big games—that's he's been there, and that's you know, playing for your country is a little bit different than playing for Tri-Cities, and that's on a big stage. So he's going to feel pretty comfortable in these playoff games, and it'll be up to us to get to him.
Right. And as for Tyler Brennan, playing as well now as he has, we look back to the series last season with Portland when he was at his absolute best, struggled in the first half of the season. First star Saturday against Kamloops, top 43 of 45. He certainly would not have won that game without him. You know, Ty Young is ready to go if necessary. How do you look at it from your point of view and the matchup?
Oh, very, very comfortable. You know, very, you know, and that's one of the biggest things. Like, even, you know, you do some comparables and you put things together even from last year in the playoffs. And, you know, Brennan didn't start in the playoffs last year. Young did. You know, Young got caught down the stretch, won a big game in Kamloops that really, you know, springboarded us into the playoffs. And then Brennan got in there and he just didn't give up the crease at all. He was outstanding. And, you know, down the stretch here, you know, Brennan's played really good and it's great to see Young play really good on the weekend. So I think going into the playoffs, I can say that's a real strength of ours.
If the goaltending can be matched and the special teams can be matched, would it be fair to say the Cougars have more talent, or is that not fair to say, even though you have more firepower with high-end scorers?
Well, yeah, I think we have more offense than they do. You know, they generate a lot on their power play. They're a bigger team. You know, when you look at the size and you look at the depth of their team, they're a real big team. So, you know, the physicality could be there for them. The speed could be there for us. So when you look at all those different intangibles and what they have and what we have, it's going to be an interesting first game. And it's going to be real interesting, the adjustments as we get going, because it, you know, playoffs builds a lot of different legs. You know, it goes this direction for a while and that direction, and we got to find the right direction to go.
Against Kamloops in your last regular season game, I don't think the Blazers took Zellweger off the ice, even though it didn't really seem to matter in the standings. You could tell Kamloops really wanted to win that game after you walloped them the night before 7-2 in their building. Zellweger, obviously a high-end defenseman. Why I'm bringing that up is Tri-City has one. As a matter of fact, the Americans, a leading scorer, is a 17-year-old defenseman that is ranked 12th among North American skaters by NHL Central Scouting for midterm rankings, Lukas Dragicevic. So here's a guy, 75 points, played all 68 games. Is he a Zellweger in your mind?
Well, he's just as important to that team as Zellweger is to the Kamloops team, that's for sure. And he's, you know, this guy is actually more important than Zellweger would be to Kamloops, I think. He's the leading scorer. He's the you know, he runs their power play. So he's their main guy.
Are you going to pay any special attention to him? You have to worry about their forwards. I mean, Parker Bell, you know, a little bit more in a point per game. Ethan Ernst, but no, you know, they're still not in the top 50 of WHL scoring. Or do you feel you don't have to worry about matchups? Is that something that is going to be a concern for you? Are you going to pay extra attention and talk about Dragos Civic? Or are you just going to talk about Tri-City as a team?
No, we talk, you know, we actually got right at it yesterday. We talked individually, you know, about the players. And, you know, obviously you got to pay attention to certain guys when they're out there. They're high-end and players, but matchup-wise, I'm very comfortable with all our four lines against anybody.
Right. What about the excitement? Can you feel it in Prince George? I know you're in the building, CN Center, all the time. You're working all the time and all of those things, and your mindset is on winning the next game. But there's been a buzz in the city. There was over 5,800 to close out the season. People are talking PG Cougars again. Is that something you can feel, the team can feel, or is that something you only feel when you see the attendance?
No, you can totally feel it, and that's the feel you get from winning. You know, the players are happy. You're like, no, you know, losing's a grind, right? It takes a lot of energy out of you, and you know, the good feeling is the weather is getting nicer. It's playoff time, and the guys are really feeling good about themselves because they deserve it. Man, we've played some really good hockey, and I think we played some really good hockey this year, and even some of the games that for different reasons that we didn't win. But there was always a time this team was really exciting, and you know, the proudness that these guys should have for themselves and the city. It's been a long time coming, and you know, I've heard it ever since I got here that it's the same. Well, It takes time to build it, and I'm not saying it's built yet, but we're in a really good spot, and we're excited about our team moving into playoffs.
Winning is fun, but to add to that, scoring goals is fun. You had the fourth most goals in the entire league. Only the big three had more, and Seattle only had 10 more goals than you did. Kamloops and Winnipeg also had a few more goals than the Cougars did. But that adds to the excitement, doesn't it? Like, you know, I think fans would probably rather see a 5-3 win than a 2-1 win. Now, I'm old-fashioned. I love the 2-1 games. I love when the goaltenders are stars 1-2. But I believe I'm in the minority. I think fans love a lot of goals, and that's what the Cougars provide.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, how we're built. We got a lot of skill, and we can bring it from the back end, you know, right through our forward group. And, yeah, it's exciting. You know, look at we got some guys that can do some pretty fancy stuff out there, you know, like the Wheatcroft goal on the shootout the other night. And, you know, that's high-end skill. And so I'm sure fans love to see that. But I think a lot of fans love the, just like you, you know, the lower scoring games, the real hard physical hockey, the defensive hockey. And when you get into playoffs, you got to play both. You got to bury your chances, and you got to find space. And defensively, you got to really lock it down.
It looks like you're as healthy as a horse. I know you kept a couple of guys out that may have been able to play on the weekend if it was playoff games, but you're 100% healthy, would you say, coming in?
Yeah, we're gonna have a full lineup for sure. We'll have a good week of practice here. You know, the thing about hockey is, you know, every day and in practice, there's still things that can happen, and it has. But we're looking forward. We're going into Friday healthy.
And I mentioned to you earlier that I had Eric Brewer on a recent podcast, and I asked him this question. I'm going to ask you the same, and I think it's a difficult question, and I'm not sure whether you're going to have an answer right away or you know, how you're going to go about it, but with the great success you had in the regular season, if you do not win the first round of the playoffs, can you consider this season a success for the Prince George Cougars?
Well, it's a real success right now, you know, for sure. And we have to grow as a team. It'll be really disappointed if we don't win that first round. And I'll be able to answer that question, whether we win or lose, after on how we played. maybe there was some real good growth in the, you know, in the series if you don't end up winning. It's a loaded question, and it's hard to answer right now.
Yeah, and, you know, Eric was sort of, sort of the same as you, is that, you know, I think his expectation, rightfully so, like your expectation, is to knock off Tri-City, get to the second round, possibly play Seattle, slight chance it would be Kamloops the second round, and go from there. But he said, like you, let's wait and see how this all pans out, because there is expectation. And one thing is that whether you're a slight favorite or not a slight favorite, the expectation, I think, from the Cougar fans is that you are going to be able to knock off the Americans and get to round two. And I don't think you'd want anybody to have any less expectation than that, correct?
Oh, no. We're feeling really good about ourselves. Look at all the work we put in this year and how we played, down the stretch. But you put all that in, and it's a new season. You know, it's nice to have all that. You're feeling good about yourself. You didn't, get into playoffs in the back door. Like last year, we grinded to get in there, and we ended up finishing sixth with all those ties. But, it was a real hard grind. And what I liked about this year is, we knew we were in, but the guys didn't lay off. They kept that attitude, and that's a part of growing into a winner.
Weeb and Dubinsky, interesting additions. Dubinsky will be in the playoffs for the first time. Weeb, it's old hat for him, went to the Memorial Cup last year. Well, we always talk about the big three, and why not? They're top 10 scorers in the league. These are the kind of guys, and Becker, and there's Brown, and I could go on and on, that if you're to have success, they're going to have to contribute not just physically, but even offensively.
Yeah, when you're in playoffs, you need different. But those two guys, the two overages that you talked about, we targeted players like that. We needed the physicality, we needed the hard matchup, we needed the attitude. Players that are really hard to play against, that have really helped our team. But when you get into the playoffs, we talk about those top three that are in the top 10 scoring. They're gonna be keyed on. Like, that's what Tri-Cities is going to talk about. They're going to talk about our power play. Why wouldn't they? They're going to talk about, Height Zimmer and Wheatcroft. They got to shut those guys down. That's a given. You got to have your best players out against them or they'll eat you up. But it's the third and fourth line guys. That's where you need, that's how you win in playoffs. You have different heroes that aren't your the guys that do it during the regular season. But the third and fourth line guys, the guys that, like, you even look at Jackson Weeb last year, went in and watched him play, and here he is in the Memorial Cup out there scoring the winning goal he was out there in a 3-on-3 with all that talent that Edmonton had. So that tells you something there. He wasn't the first, second line player last year. He was third and fourth line guys, and that's how you win.
Zach Funk is a 19-year-old who probably will be back as a 20-year-old, another key addition that you made as a trade. You continue to rotate him and Wheatcroft on that big line. Even in the last game against Kamloops, you started with Funk, and then you said, oh, no, I'm going to go back to Wheatcroft. When you get into the playoffs now, are you going to just, is the plan just to keep Wheatcroft up there? Are you still going to experiment a little bit more when it gets to playoffs? Let those guys go, let Funk play on the next line, and away we go? Or how are you going to look at that?
No, it's the same. You're always, it's to do with matchups. And that's what Kamloops, what they did is they put that big line together, and that's what we did. We switched Funk. We needed to create some offense, and we put Funk and Eastie up there against the big line. So there's always, different matchups that are going to change during the, especially in playoffs. Like, they're a big, heavy team. We might have to do something like that.
You have limited playoff experience, the group of this players. Last season, 4 games. Now, some of your players have played more. We've talked about that. But the Americans, they're in the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. Virtually, their guys have no playoff experience. So one would look and say, that's an advantage for Prince George. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, they haven't been there in the... The playoff experience we had last year was we played some really good hockey, we were totally outmanned, totally outmatched. But we give them all they could get. You know, we had really good goaltending. We played a real good system. And, you know, those games were close, and we probably should have won a game. So we learned right there. The guys that were there, they could see it. And, you know, we had a couple suspensions. Riley Height got suspended in the last game. Zimmer got hurt in the first period. So we were really, you know, we didn't have, you know, the depth at all. But we, what our depth did do was they it played hard. And, you know, we can learn from that.
But you were the underdog last year, and I don't know. We certainly cannot call you an underdog, whether somebody wants to call you a favorite, but there's certainly no way of putting you into the underdog role, and that's to your advantage.
Yeah, I don't think we are the underdogs. Like, I don't think we even want to try to say that we're the underdogs. We deserve to be there. We got home ice advantage, and, you know, that's where we're at.
Right. So, wrapping it up, the key to victory, if the Cougars are to advance to round number two, other than what we normally would think of, special teams and goaltending and all these kinds of things, what is it going to take? What do you have to emphasize to your team? The small things, maybe the things we don't talk about a lot in sound bites and everything like that, for the Cougars to be successful.
Yeah, it's not going to the team that wins is going to, you know, be playing the best team game. And, you know, we have that in our book, and that's how we have to play. You have to go in there with that mentality. You're not going to score six goals. And, you know, we've scored a ton of goals this year. But we can't have that mentality. It's got to be, you know, short-term memory. I don't want these guys thinking too far, getting too far ahead, because, you know, a lot of people do have us as favorites, but it means nothing. You know, everyone puts their best game forward when playoff starts.
Had Jim Playfair on a podcast earlier as well. Is he still helping you out? I talked to him at length and the contributions he was making. I asked, you know, the assistant coach, associate coach about that as well, and how he was making great progress and helping out. Is he still a major contributor sort of behind the scenes?
Yeah. He's always behind the scenes, and it's been great having, you know, Jimmy around to talk to about our team. And, you know, especially when he's not around for a while and comes back and he can see the progression, and that's what happened this year, is he just seen so much of how our team game got so much better.
Any last words, anything you want to say in conclusion to the fans, the team, on the podcast, as you get ready for the big test with the Tri-City American?
No, I think it's just, you know, it's been I think the, you know, the people in Prince George and the hockey team, I'm so proud of the hockey team, how we've kind of gelled and got together. And there's been some really, really exciting times with, you know, the breaking of records and all that kind of stuff. And that only happens when you have a good team. So I think everybody should be very, very happy, home ice in the playoffs, and we'll see where that goes. But it's been very positive.
And you'll keep that even keel approach, even if you get an overtime goal or something doesn't go your way, you'll try to keep that even keel approach as much as you can?
No, you never know. You never know. It's all emotions are emotions. Like I say, I burn hard.
Oh, yeah.
I go through lots of shirts.
I really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you throughout the playoffs. Take care, all the best.
All right. You bet. All right. Take care.
You bet. Bye. Mark Lamb is the head coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. You've been listening to CatScan, brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words.